Now, when we first developed dynamic spin release, we were, of course, infatuated with the whole aspect of spin. And, you know, we'd go to Australia, and apparently the, you know, water, when it goes down a drain, is supposed to go backwards. So we were flushing toilets. We were filling sinks up and pulling the plug out and, you know, really fascinated with the whole idea of spin. And what we have learned in the evolution of this, that really a key part of DSR is the whole psychology of metaphors and archetypes and symbols. And that's where the healing takes place. And so we want to spend the next half hour until we go to lunch exploring that.
And some of the people who have been real proponents of using metaphor have been, for example, Carl Jung, who is a protege of Freud's. He was a brilliant analyst and thought that, you know, actually kind of cataloged how much we think in metaphor and similes. We're thinking in metaphors all the time. In fact, do you remember the statistics you read? One in ten words that people say when they go to the doctor
is a metaphor, like I'm feeling blue or... this is such a pain in the neck. You know, they're just using different metaphors. Or during an emotionally laden conversation or argument, sometimes you can use as many as one in three or four metaphors per word. Like, you totally drive me crazy. I'm telling you.
You know, those kind of things.
So
you drive me to drink.
But the metaphor is the driving of a car, right? Or it's, you know, having to drive something. And so we literally think in metaphors. If you look at the caveman drawings, they're the symbols. And we think in metaphors, we think in symbols, and we think in archetypes. And it's just a core part of who we are.
It's like Kevin was saying, with certain people, you'd want to pace it using more of that psychological language, metaphor, archetypes that we might think in, rather than a gift. Mo?
What's an archetype?
An archetype is a special kind of metaphor that exists in all cultures. And it's, as human beings, our collective consciousness will come up with the same kind of meanings for things. So if I say, what's a mother like? Well, what's a mother supposed to be like?
Nurturing.
We'll say, every culture says the same thing. What's a father supposed to be like? Protecting or providing. So you get those, you know, it's across cultures. So we have, what's the meaning of the sun? What's the meaning of the moon?
And Carl Jung was the one that coined the concept of archetypes. And as Tim said, they're these universal symbols and images that operate deep within what he calls the collective unconscious mind. And that's the greater universal conscious mind. And we all have a shared image of what a mother or a father is, and or even UFOs have become somewhat of an archetype. And so in more modern day culture, who's familiar with the word meme, like a meme? And those are kind of archetypes as well. Like Levi Strauss is a meme. Everybody knows what that is, or Apple.
How many of you call blue jeans Levi's, even if they're a different brand?
I mean, if you think of Apple computers, that's really, in a sense, it's a meme or it's an archetype. So it's a universal understanding. What will help you get really effective with dynamic spin release is if you can start understanding the deeper implication of the psychology of these metaphors. And I'll give you an example. I was working with a woman who she got back as her gift a baseball bat. And she went, oh no, that's violent. I don't like that at all. And I said, really? Baseball bats are great. They hit home runs. And all of a sudden she was like, oh my gosh, she had to give a public talk and was really nervous about it. And she realized that was what she really wanted, was to knock it out of the ballpark. So then it became a very powerful metaphor for her. There was the one with the spider.
Yeah, one time I had a woman spin some problem she had, and she got a spider back, and it creeped her out. You know, what's wrong with me? It's a spider. And I said, okay, well, when in doubt, spin it out. So I said, spin the spider. So she spun the spider, and she got back this beautiful neural network kind of vision. And she realized that the spider was really representing this idea of a web where everything's held together, and some, you've all seen beautiful webs of spiders, right? And it was a totally different meaning than she got consciously. But our own unconscious minds are going to give us these kind of gifts.
So. And Tim just shared with you one of the DSR presuppositions or principles, which is if somebody gets a gift back and they don't like it, like a spider, Tim just had her spin it out again. And when you do that, you'll do it in the positive direction. So for example, you have the person, they pull something out, they identify the spin, yeah. You reverse it, they get the gift. So literally you're reversing it, they get the gift and they're like, yuck, I don't like it. So then you just have them keep reversing the gift again and reverse it until they get another one. And that's, in Tim's case,
By the way, speaking of that, sometimes people will spin it and they get something yucky back. If they keep spinning it and keep getting something that they don't feel comfortable with, they probably spin it the wrong way in the first place. So try it the other way. And often it works fine.
And what's great is there's a natural built-in ecology with this. So it's impossible to do harm with it, because if somebody doesn't like what they get or like how they feel, then you can just spin it again or reverse the spin of it.
So if you go to page 15 and 16. By the way, we've gotten all kinds of interesting things. But noticing Mo's shirt.
I love your shirt, Mo. Mo, will you stand up real quick? He's wearing there's some synchronicity that he's wearing this shirt today, because for about the last year now,
it's the Muppets.
It's the little guys from Sesame Street, and for about the last year now, whenever I spin something out, I get Cookie Monster, I get Big Bird a lot, I get Grover as my gift, and so I don't know what that is, because I didn't even like Sesame Street as a kid, but I've learned to love the characters, so.
So you get all kinds of things. So what we're gonna ask you to do is get with two other people, so you're a group of three. So Irma, will you help us?
Sure.
So we'll have a group of three, and we'll have a client. So Chris will be a client, I could be the guide, and you'd be the coach. And what the meaning of whatever comes up for the client is the most important thing. The meaning should reside with her. We're not into interpreting things. So if, let's say Chris gets a diamond ring. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I can say, so what does a diamond ring mean to you? But as she's saying it, I also want to think about, what could a diamond ring mean?
And what could a diamond ring mean?
What could it mean?
I mean, what? Pardon? Shining, right.
Shiny.
And what else?
Strength.
Commitment.
It's strength.
Durability.
It's the hardest thing on the planet, right? Or one of them.
Solid. Timeless.
Harmony, yes.
Expensive.
Yeah, it's very valuable, right? So we can think of all of those meanings to it. And because sometimes people will get something and they won't have an idea, like Chris's person with the bat, you know, what they'll see the danger in it, but not the gift in it. So sometimes it's helpful to you can propose it. You don't want to put your map on somebody. So if I say, so you got a diamond ring, what does that mean to you?
I think, you know, when I think about it, it's really about commitment.
Ah, like a wedding ring kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, special kind of commitment.
A very special kind, yeah.
So I'd want to honor that. I'd want to go, no, a diamond ring is a valuable thing, and it's probably about money.
Right.
Do you have issues with money?
No.
Okay. That'd be putting my trip on her, and that would be if that was my trip.
But then we could do it again, and I could say, oh, a diamond ring.
So what do you think of when you think of it? I mean, when I think of a diamond ring, they're beautiful, they're valuable, they're...
You know what?
Diamonds are forever, they say. So I can pop out some ideas, but it's more of a brainstorm. I want to be careful not to put my idea on her, if that makes sense.
But the thing is the client's always right. So whatever word they grab on to, then that's for them to keep.
So So we're not going to be Dr. Freud or Dr. Jung here. You know, oh, a cigar, huh? Well, you know what that means.
Well, actually, Freud said a cigar isn't necessarily a cigar. So
he said it, yeah.
Well, whatever.
We don't need to go down that road.
Let's hear more about that.
He said sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Anyway, okay. So you get the idea. And then if I get stuck, then you can kind of coach me. Or, okay. But in Irma's role, she gets to kind of be the observer here. And then we'll switch around. But you'd also want to be thinking, what could that mean? Oh, okay.
So you'll do this in groups of three. And you're going to do this for the next 20 minutes. And then we'll reconvene at right before, 1 minute before we break for lunch. We'll ask you all to come back. And just get through, you know, as many of these as you can. You don't have to get through.
You can kind of bounce around.
You can bounce around. So
and these are some that have come up before. I mean, a lot of people.
And you'll see there's a formatting error on page 16. And unfortunately, you'll see that there's some more formatting issues.
But I didn't get that.
Right there, see, continue.
Oh, continue on.
Yeah.
Next thing.
Anyway, okay, so page 15, so groups of three. Thank you, Irma. And then we'll see you in 20 minutes. And set your intent to have fun
have
with
fun
this.
Have fun with this.
Have fun with this.
Let your creative imagination really flow.
So we're going through the whole process with different things.
No, you're just going through what could this be. Just like we did, demonstrate it.
So you're just looking at each word.
So if you looked at one, you said, I'm getting a rainbow, and we talk about, what could that mean? But don't do the process. All we're doing is talking about what could the metaphors be about.
So you're just discussing what the metaphors are and having a brainstorm around that.
You know, metaphors are the ways we think about things in the world. It's the primary way Milton Erickson, for example, the famous psychotherapist, would work with people. He would tell them metaphors or find out their metaphor.
We didn't used to include this in the class, and a couple of times we've forgotten to do this piece, and I'm telling you, we see such a difference in the efficacy of people when they're doing the interventions later in the weekend. So we've decided this is a key part that needs to be included to help you integrate your understanding. One more question, and it's about the process.
Aren't you suggesting that we all rotate on each one, or go through all of them, and then
rotate on each one.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
So just take turns on that. Thanks for that.
Sorry, we weren't more clear.
Okay, so find two new people and come back in 20 minutes.